We are on page Samach Gimel. We are three lines down from the top of the page. We are discussing the 24 individuals. He's Malakate. The Sefer Chasidim is Malak from the entire Shas. 24 different types of sins for which a person is put into Nidui. Okay, Nidui means he is cursed. He is cursed by Beis Din, and he is excommunicated. No one is allowed to have anything to do with him. He may not get an Aliyah in Shul. No one is allowed to communicate with him. He's not allowed to engage in business in the community. And here he very, very incredibly, he collected from the entire Kol HaTorah Kulo. He was able to collect from all different sources. Everything is sourced from Shas. He knew Shas on his fingertips 700 years ago before Art Scroll. He was able to put together 24 instances without a computer. Can you imagine without a computer also? 24 instances where a person is put into Nidui by Chazal. So we are in the middle of this very long list, and now we're up to the middle of page Samach Gimel, three lines down from the top. It says here, page Samach Gimel. Samach Gimel. It's the middle of Halacha Mem Gimel on page Samach Gimel. We are three lines down where it says, HaMechalel Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius. The person who is Mechalel Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius. You only observe one day Yom Tov. The person says, why should I need to observe the second day? It's only because in ancient times they were not experts in Kvid. They were Mekadosh Al Pi Re'iyah, and the witnesses would not arrive on time. Today we are experts in the Kvid D'Yarcha. Today we have a calendar. We have a calendar today. Today we have a calendar, and therefore there's really no need that we should observe 2 days of Yom Tov and Chutz Li'aretz. A person that does this, and the Amachalel Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, Afal Pishuhu Minhog, he is cursed. He is cursed by Chazal. Even though today there's no need to do this, it's Minhog. He says clearly, he's already 700 years ago, 800 years ago, he's saying this. It's Minhog Avosenu Biodenu, it's Mamish, a curse. I remember once I was on the way to Shul on the second day of Yom Tov, and I was stopped by a guy on a bike, and he was giving me the business, and he said, what's you going to shul today? I see you all dressed up. You're going to shul today. Today is Yom Tov Sheni. Obviously, this guy was the guy who went off the derech. It's Yom Tov Sheni. What's this ridiculous thing? You have to go to shul Yom Tov Sheni. Today we know the date. Today we're not Mekadosh. He knew everything. He knew all the stuff. And he was going on, and he was mamash doing what it says over here, this very severe halacha, HaMechalel Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. They should know about this very Alfi Shuminik, and this very much Nogea even for us, for Charedim. What do I mean by that? Because in Eretz, let us say you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's one of the biggest halachic dilemmas. There are two major opinions in the Achronim, in Shulchan Aruch, what to do if you are a Ben Chutz Laaretz, who is visiting Eretz Yisrael. Do you observe 1 day or do you observe 2 days? Okay, so it used to be without any question years ago, before my time, it was a given that if a person visits Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, even though the whole Eretz Yisrael is observing 1 day, if you are Ben Chutz La'aretz, I used to all know the names of the Rishonim. I used to know the stuff inside out. I totally forgot all the names, all the different opinions, all the different terminology. It used to be a given that still, if you are a Ben Chutz La'aretz, you observe 2 days of Yom Tov. This is the sheet of one of the major Achronim in Shulchan Aruch. That is the halacha. There is a dissenting opinion that says no. When in Rome, you do like the Romans. If everyone in Eretz Yisrael is observing 1 day, you should observe 1 day as well. Okay, now, they're not discussing, there are many varieties. Let's say you own property. If you own property in Eretz Yisrael, that changes the equation. If you go there every single Yom Tov or the majority of the time for Yom Tov, that changes the equation. But let's just discuss a very simple case. You do not own property. Your children do not live there. You just happen to be there visiting. It's a yoytze min haklal. You're visiting for Yom Tov. Do you observe 2 days or do you observe 1 day? Today, now it used to be, like I told you years ago, you would observe for sure 2 days. Today, a lot of the Rabbanim in Eretz, if you ask a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, he'll be insulted at the question. Even to ask the question is an insult to a rabbi who lives in Eretz Yisrael. They'll say, what kind of Shaila? You're here in Eretz Yisrael. This is where you belong. Of course you observe one day. If you'll ask an American rabbi, they'll say, traditionally, it was always accepted the opinion that if you visit Eretz Yisrael, you observe 2 days. Okay, so today a lot has changed. Yesh v'yesh. But one thing, and I actually saw this, and I really feel that's mamish part of this halacha. I actually once saw someone making litzanis of a visitor that he was observing 2 days. He was lashing into him. And he was making litzanis, mamish making him feel bad. Oh, you're here in Eretz Yisrael, you're an American, and you're observing 2 days. You're observing 2 days of, you're not wearing tefillin today, and you're davening this. He was mamish making late sonnets of him. Here we are in Eretz Yisrael, and you know something? When you read this, it triggers, you know something? This is the way it used to be. This is a chadoshim labakarim. Today, the trend has changed for some reason. I don't know why the trend has changed. It used to be poshut. If you don't own property in Eretz Yisrael, and you happen to be visiting, you observe 2 days of Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, you know, don't forget that in Chutz Li'aretz, it says that Mechalel Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golyos Af Al Pi Shehu Minhag. It's not halacha, it's the minhag. This is one of the 24 things where the person is cursed. Cursed. So, if it's not your opinion in halacha, okay. You're a very strong religious Zionist, and you hold that once you cross the border, you get off the plane, that's it. It's one day. And 100%, it says this in Shulchan Aruch, according to one opinion. But you should know there are other opinions. And the other opinions have very strong ground, even though it's hard for some people to grasp. How can you be here in Eretz Yisrael when everyone's observing 1 day and you're observing 2 days? Not everything in halacha you have to understand. Not everything in halacha is fully comprehensible to the average person. And to go, if you don't understand, fine. But to go ad kidei kach to make leitzanis, it's mamish what it says over here. You know, there's an element. You know something? A person that is mechalel yom tov sheni shel golis in chutz li'aretz, afal pi shehu minog is, it doesn't make sense in chutz li'aretz either. Why does it make any more sense to observe 2 days yom tov in chutz li'aretz than in Eretz Yisrael? Bizman hazeh, we have a calendar. So what's the difference? So just because you're in Eretz Yisrael and everyone there is observing 1 day, it should make a difference. If this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and this was the minog, okay, there are different opinions. But not to go so far to make leitzanis and to lash into another person. This is definitely not the Jewish way. Next item on the list. This people don't know about so much. Erev Pesach after Chatzos has the same status of Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to get a haircut or do laundry Erev Pesach after you burn the chametz. Can I have 1 hour? You're not allowed to do it. You got people, they make that mistake, they think Erev Pesach, they'll get a haircut because they're observing Sfira, or they have to do some more laundry. Erev Pesach after Chatzos has exactly the same halachic status as Chol HaMoed Pesach. It might be even more chamor, because that's the zman of Shechitas HaPesach. When you bring a carbon, it's a Yom Tov. When the person would come to the Beis HaMikdash and you bring a carbon, the day you bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash is for you a private holiday, which has restrictions. You're not allowed to get a haircut. You're not allowed to wash your clothing. You're not allowed to engage in Malach unless it's a Dover HaOved, yeah?
What's a Shiva?
Shiva, you don't sit Shiva on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, correct. There are a lot of halachas. Now, not everyone knows these halachas. Yeah. These are very severe halachas. And he writes over here, the person that is mevazeh, that does melacha, that treats Erev Pesach, Acher Chatzos, as a regular, ordinary weekday, it says in the Gemara, he is put in nidui. Next.
Erev Pesach is
Yom Tov.
One day of
That's Pesach.
That's Pesach. The carbon,
the
Shechitas HaPesach takes place Erev Pesach after Chatzos.
Is 7 days. Pesach is 1 day, which is what we call Erev Pesach.
Erev Pesach.
Zevach.
Okay, next thing. Via Maskir Shem Shemam Levatol, the person that's Maskir Shem Shem Levatol, Oil Shavua makes an oath, Bidvei Havai. Someone swears. You swear like a sailor. Okay, you swear like a sailor. Is Nidui. Or mask Hashem, not to say Hashem's name, even to say G-O-D. It's not so simple.
Right.
Not so simple just to say Hashem's name in any language. That, to take into consideration, the person is put in nidu. There's a curse. When you say a person, no one's going to talk to you, you don't take it seriously because everyone talks to me. Who's not going to talk to me? Who's not going to engage in business? But when you tell them that the word nidu means that he is cursed by Chazal, Chazal have issued a curse upon a person that does these things, that already is something people have second thoughts. Hamevi, next thing, Hamevi Yesaram with a Chilul Hashem. Now this is very, very frightening. A person brings the Rabbim to a Chilul Hashem, which means that there are many ways you can interpret this. You can interpret that the person does an Avera, and he's in the newspapers, and he's there in the newspaper with his yarmulke, and everyone says, look what an orthodox Jew, what he does, how he behaves. This is Mevi es harabim lidei chilul Hashem. He is cursed. Ha-mevi es harabim lidei. Now this is something which is not nogia us, part of the Gemara. Ha-mevi es harabim lidei achilas kadosh b'chutz. Okay, that's a whole different, that's hard for us to appreciate what this means, to bring the rabbim to eat kadosh b'chutz. Now I can tell you what we mean, we said many times, this idea you know, I mentioned to you that there's a Rabbi Klein. May I remember his first name? I forgot his first name.
Reuven
Klein. He does put out a new book called God versus Gods. Okay, he's the one who wrote the book on Lashon HaKodesh. We spent time, he put out this new book about God versus Gods, and he has there a beautiful chapter about the Bamos. And he writes there something which I always repeat to you in the name of Rav Shimon Schwab. He doesn't quote Rav Shimon Schwab, he quotes other commentators that say just about the same thing, and that's the question is, what does it mean that by many of the malachim, the kings, it says, oh, they were very, very good kings, but aches habamois lo yisiru. They couldn't accomplish that. That is something that was beyond their reach. What does that mean exactly? Who cares? The bamois, the people, they offered private sacrifices in their backyard, on a bama kitana. What's that all about? So he says this idea, which is a very, very profound idea, and it means something very, very significant. Many people did not believe for a period of time that Yerushalayim was the final resting place of the Shechina. Just like Klal Yisrael, they went from Gilgal, and from Gilgal to Shiloh, and from Shiloh to Noiv, and from Noiv to Givon, and then to Ir David. Oh, so now here we are in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. This is not the final resting place. We'll build another Beis HaMikdash in Tel Aviv. We'll build a Beis HaMikdash in Beis Shemesh. We'll build a Beis HaMikdash in some other area in Eretz Yisrael. Who says that this is the place that it says in the Torah, the Shichnoi Sidrishu Uvasa Shama. Who says this is the final resting place? L'may Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is, if this is not the final resting place, then it's nothing more than a Bama Gidoyla. And if the Beis HaMikdash has the halachic status as a Bama Gidoyla, it means it's permitted to offer korbanos in your backyard on a bama kitana. So when it says that all of the kings that were very successful, they could not get rid of the bamas, in essence what it means is they failed to convince the people that Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is the final resting place of the Hashuas HaShechina. So that to us is super bizarre. I mean, who doesn't believe that with his full heart that Yerushalayim is the final? That's
maybe those people who also thought that David wasn't going to be king because he was Ammoni. I mean, he came from Rus.
Here, same idea. But this went on into very, very late in history. So therefore, over here he says something very, very profound. It's very relevant. There are people today who tell us that, you know, Eretz Yisrael is not so important. It's not so important to be a Zionist, to be a religious Zionist. Live in America. You live somewhere else. Why? I mean, they established a state. There was a proposal that you should go to Uganda. Uganda. Why should you go and go shepherd with the Palestinians? Go establish the state of Israel in another piece of property. Anyone that comes along today that tries to diminish the kedusha, the value of the kedusha ha'aretz, that it's not so important, don't make it into a central issue, is really in essence doing the same thing as going back to the time and saying that Yerushalayim is not the final resting place, and therefore you could have in your backyard a bama gedola. Any politician or any leader or any person that does this, in essence, and that means you're eating kardashim b'chutz. When you bring a carbon, a bama ketana, you're supposed to bring the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, and you bring in a bama ketana, so that is, you're diminishing the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, and that's included in what it says over here, HaMevi es arabim lideachilas kardashim b'chutz. Next, HaNechashev shanim v'kaveya kardashim b'chutz la'aretz. A person today that is kaveya, and we do not have Zman Hazeh, a Sanhedrin, to be Koveya, to Iber HaChodesh, to establish Rosh Chodesh. Anyone that tries to do that today before the coming of Mashiach is Chayiv Nidui. Next, Hamachshiles or Iver, you cause a blind person to stumble, a person who's blind in any manner, a person who is unaware, he's vulnerable, he's naive, and you misguide him. This chayiv nidei hamakeves rabbi lasos mitzvah. You prevent the tzibur from doing a mitzvah. Tabach shnimso treifa tachas yadai. Okay, we had the stories over here in recent times. The tabach butcher that was found selling non kosher meat. He's chayiv nidei. Pretty scary stuff. A tabach amarich lebodak zakinu lefnechacham. A tabach who refuses to show his knife, his chalif to the chacham. That's the Derech Eretz. He's supposed to show the when the Chacham comes, he's supposed to show the knife to the Chacham for inspection. Hamakshe atzma lodas. Okay, this means self understood. A person that caused himself to be moitzi shechva zera levatola. It could be not even that. It could be hamakshe means even if he's not caused the zera to come out, even makshe atzma lodas. A person looks at things which cause him to be stimulated is chayev a curse. Very scary thing. What it says here, he's in nidui. This is very interesting over here. A person who divorces his wife, Achman Latzlan, is not allowed to have anything to do with her. Men who divorce, I was walking with someone late at night, and a car stops, and the one I was with, he gets called over to the car, and he starts talking to him, and they start talking and schmoozing. And in the car was a man and a woman. A man and a woman. They looked like they're having a good time. Like, you know, an older couple, whatever. And then they were talking for 2 minutes, and then the car goes weiter. And the person walking with me says to me, you know what that is? I says, no. He says, you know, he got divorced. He got divorced like a year ago, 2 years ago. And you know who's in the car with him? His ex-wife. Maybe one of them was married. He said, I think he may say they were going to PTA for one of their kids. They were divorced. So, and he says to me, something doesn't look right there. They were too happy with each other in the car. I remember that impression. They, so he's saying, Taka. I don't know the story. Maybe. Was one of them? Did one of them get remarried? I don't know if one of them got remarried. It's a different story. But here he writes over here a halacha that a person that Rachmana Litzlan gets divorced, he's not allowed to have anything to do with his ex-wife, including he may not go into business with her, and deal in business matters, because what is going to happen is inevitable, because they're so comfortable with each other, they're going to end up living together. They're going to end up being together like husband and wife, outside the framework of marriage, because obviously they're very comfortable with each other, so they don't care, so they're not married, they'll be with each other, and that's a terrible avera. So therefore, in order that a person should distance himself from this nisoyon, he's not allowed to have anything to do with her. And when a person gets divorced, and then he goes into business with his wife, and it's inevitable that they're going to have some type of issue, they have to come to court for some matter. So when they come to court together, and Beis Din discovers they're together, they come to court together because they're in business together, they lash them. They beat them up. That's what it says over here. It says over Misha Yisrael, the Asa Beinoi Lebeina Shutafus, a partnership of business, a Masav Matan, Hamevi Oisan Lehizokek Zemze, that will inevitably bring them to come to each other in Yechidus, to be alone with one another, and that will lead to doing an Avera because they're no longer married. Kishayavo, and certainly if she remarries, then it's mamish, that's the pits. If she remarries, that's the worst. There's an ish. Kishayavohu lebezdin, when now the bezdin, I guess, catches them, when they come to court, because it's inevitable, you're in business together, yeah, at some point in time, you're going to have to come to court for some reason. Menadin oisan, they are put into nidui. Next case. Chacham. They have to dissolve the business. They have to separate. They're not allowed to be in business. A divorced couple, they're not allowed to have anything to do with each other because it will definitely, in the eyes of Chazal, lead to an Avera. There are many stories like this.
The divorce, they mean here, get or not a civil
case. Not separation. A full, right, a halachic divorce.
Murder.
Halachic divorce. Okay, next thing is Chacham Shesh Muasa Ra'ah. A chacham who has a bad reputation. Okay, so he is nidui. What's a bad reputation? You can use your imagination. Hamanada esmishin royal anadis chayav nidui. If you put into nidui, if you're an abezdin, and you put into nidui someone who does not deserve to be put into nidui, why are you putting him into nidui? You're jealous of him, or you want it, it's to your advantage that he should be excommunicated, the business will come your way. If you put into nidui a person that is not deserving of nidui, then the person who did this, he himself is cursed. Okay, so this is the 24 things we've gone through. If you notice, he has all the marmakomis. He is the one who put out this edition, this organization called the Oitzer HaPoiskim. They did a lot of work on Sefer Chassidim. They went through all the sources. They went through all 24 items, and they dug up the source. Every single one is from either the Bavli or the Yerushalmi. It's an amazing bekias to come up with all 24 things that it says in the Gemara that a person is engaged in these things, he's put in nidui. Remember, nidui is a curse. It's a curse from Chazal, and in addition to the curse, it also means that no one is allowed to have anything to do with this person for a period of time. Mem Dalet. Arba Kitois, this is from the Mishnayis. Arba Kitois. Ein Mekabalos Pnei Shechina, there are four groups that will not receive the Shechina. Who are the four groups? Number one is the Kat Shakronim, liars. Kat Chanefim, a flatterer. What is a flatterer? Someone who makes something out of nothing. We always mention, we discuss this, there's the two ends of the spectrum, a leitz and a mechonef. What's a leitz? A leitz is to take something that is be'etzem choshuv and to make nothing out of it. Davening. Davening, Chazal says, Dvarim ha'oimdim b'rumoy shaloylon. And if a person makes a statement, davening, davening at home, you don't need to daven, it's nothing. That's a leitz. To take a dover choshuv, and to make nothing out of it. To take a Talmud chacham, a serious person, and to say, he's a nothing. That's leitzanis. What's the opposite of leitzanis? Flattery, a mechonef, to take garbage and to make out of garbage an idol. You take a lowlife in the street, that person, is he smart, is he wise, you know why he's so, you make out of him so chasha, because money. Someone told me a story 2 days ago, it's a great mashal, you don't forget this type of story. That story, there was a fellow, I think it's a true story, there was a fellow who was phenomenally wealthy. And on Purim, people would line up around the block for a donation. And he gave out money like water on Purim. He gave out, every yeshiva sent a group to him to collect money. And he gave. Vayehi hayoyim, he lost every last dollar. He was a pauper. He lost So no one came to Mount Purim. He had nothing to give. So there was one friend that he had, and he saw how much pain he had, where he went from all the way from the top of the world down to nothing. So he felt bad. So on Purim, he went out of his way to go to him, to visit him, and to spend time with him on Purim, to cheer him up. Because Purim was the hardest day for this Gevir, because Purim, he was the limelight. He was in the limelight. Everyone came to sing and dance around him for the money. Now he has no money. No one's coming to knock on his door. So he went to him just to be with him, to party with him, to cheer him up. So he's sitting with him, and they're having a good time, and they're singing, and they're talking, and then the person starts reminiscing, oh, I remember the good old days. I was so rich. I remember people, they came, all the yeshivas, the groups, to sing and dance for donations. Oh, yeah, I feel so bad, those days. I remember those days, but no, I don't understand something. Okay, today, I don't have money. So no one is coming today to me anymore for money. But how come no one comes today anymore for my advice? For my etzes. No one's coming today for my etzes. How come? You hear the word?
Yeah,
you hear the word? How money blinds a person. They weren't coming for your etzes. Couldn't care less about your etzes. They're coming for your money.
Good answer, okay?
The same I heard about in Ashur. Everybody was coming, greeting, asking questions, like this. Listen, finally, was his money? Nobody was coming to him. Went to the rabbi, says, I understand where is my money went, but I don't understand where is my chokmah went.
Same story, exactly the same thing. Exactly. I also know when a person, he would call up very wealthy people for donations for a certain cause. He had a certain thing, whatever he had. So he calls up one very wealthy donor, and he asks him for money, for a sizable donation. And then the donor starts telling him, what are you doing? Why is your yeshiva like this? You should do this. So the fellow says, listen, I called to ask you for money, not for advice. That was the end of the money. Okay, they said the best balei tzedakah are the balei tzedakah that don't give the advice. If you trust the person enough to give them your money, you should trust them. I trust you. Whatever you feel is the right thing to do in your organization, I trust you. Whenever there are strings attached, I'm giving you $1 million, but I want that you should teach this subject in you have to teach Navi in Lemudei Chol. You have to have a class on the State of Israel. You have to do this, you have to do that. Anytime there are strings attached, you're going to have big, big problems. I know personally, a school administrator, they got a very sizable donation from a grant for a girls' school, a Haredi girls' school, but there was a condition. I don't remember all the details. There was a condition. They had to do something. And they really, really wanted the money so bad. It was a lot of money, and they really, really wanted the money, but the condition they made was very problematic. So he went shopping around to ask all the different for advice, what to do. And the end of the day was they took the money. They took the money, and the demand that they wanted, they thought they were able to fulfill to the satisfaction of the donor in a way that would be okay. It turned out that it was just a Pesach to do, the demand was to do so much more than what the donor originally proposed. And it was demanded. I gave you the money. I wanted this. So they said, it's not what you said. You wanted to do this, and then we agreed that we'll do it in a certain way, and now you're coming back and you're telling me you want me to do 10 times what more than you originally demanded. It's very dangerous. When you start throwing around money and start making demands, This goes to show it's not a pure way of giving tzedakah. If you trust a person enough that you're willing to give him your hard earned money, you should only give it to a person that you trust knows what he's doing. Start making demands on how to run the organization. It's a problem for everyone involved. Okay, so this is what we said over here: the kat chanefim, kat misapre lashon hara. Those speak lashon hara, kat late sonim. That's the opposite we mentioned of the chanefim. The kulon mikrois, all four people are found in the Torah and in the psukim. Kat shakran, David says in the pasuk, and it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, doiver shekarim lo yikoy lineg linegede nois. Someone who speaks false will not stand, will not be established before me. V'gam b'milchemes ha'achav k'shabov v'sholas ha'nevim im yotzen aleihem. Baruchos shel novos of Hashem v'yeme eitze v'yisi ruach sheker b'fi kol. It's a famous story. He said, I'll be a spirit of falsehood in the mouth of all the prophets. And what did Hashem say? Hashem said, fine, you want to go down into this world and be a spirit of sheker to convince these people to go into war? Say, Chazal Darshan, leave my mechitzos. Anyone in Shemayim that wants to be a shakran has to leave the mechitzos of Hashem. Let's review this. It's a very powerful story. What was the story? The story of there was Achav. Achav went and formed an alliance with the Melech of Yehuda. And they were sitting together and they were contemplating the possibility of joining together to go to war against the nation of Aram. And they were debating, shall we go, shall we not go? And Hashem in Shemayim wanted them to go into war so that they should be defeated. Hashem wanted them to go to war for the wrong reason, that they should be punished, they should be defeated. So Hashem says, I need one of the malachim, I need one of the neshamos in Shemayim to lead, to go down into this world and to do something in this world. We have no idea what this means, in order to make it work out that indeed they go into war. So who in Shemayim was willing to leave to go do the job? It was Novos. The neshama of Novos HaYisraeli. Who was Novos HaYisraeli? He happened to have a beautiful vineyard next door to King Achav. And King Achav wanted the vineyard for himself. So what did he do? He complained to his wife, Izebel. And what did Izebel say? Oh, you want? No problem. Izebel went, she hired false witnesses who came into court, who testified falsely that Novos HaYisraeli cursed the king, b'shem Malchus. He cursed Hashem. So what does Allah have you curse the king? You're Merba Malchus. So they took Novos HaYisraeli and he was executed, Shaloi Kedin, based upon false testimony that was paid for by Izebel, by the wife of Achav. When that happened, and then a person who's Moirei b'malchus, what is the halacha? What happens to his property? The property becomes the possession of the melech. So now the field, this beautiful vineyard, now became the property of Achav. Fine. This neshama in Shemayim never forgave Achav for being killed illegally. So now when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want Achav to die in war, I need a neshama to go and be a spirit of sheker in order to go and force him, to persuade him, to entice him to go to war so that he should die in this war, who wants to do the job? So this neshama, Novos HaYisraeli, that was killed because he was someone who hired false witnesses, volunteered to do the job. He came down into this world and he was a spirit of sheker. Okay, you ever have in life when you make a bad decision? You make a bad decision for some strange reason? This is a ruach of sheker. How did the ruach of sheker get into your head? Chickens are coming home to roost. You created that ruach of sheker. You did something in your life which created that ruach of sheker, which now comes back down into this world to haunt you, to cause you to make a bad decision. It's a very, very scary lesson in making mistakes. When a person, you learn from this story, when a person makes a foolish mistake in life, there was a ruach of sheker, a ruach of shtus. Where did that ruach shtus come from? You created it. Achav created this neshama of Nevelis HaYisraeli. How? He had him executed, Shalai Kedim, through his wife. Now that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to make a foolish mistake and go into a war that he's going to lose, and he's going to die in this war, so who is going to be the ruach of shtus, of sheker, that's going to cause Achav to make this foolish mistake? That neshama. Who created that neshama? Who made that neshama? Who got that neshama there? Achav himself. Okay, so this is a very scary thing in life. A person willingly decides to be a shaita, that shaita, you're creating a ruach of shtus, and that ruach of shtus will come back to haunt you at a time when you don't want to have a ruach of shtus. That's the story there. So over here, you learn over here from this story, all the Baalei Musa, they say, what in the world is going on? We have an impression that in Shemayim, Shemayim is the oilam of the neshamais, it's called the oilam ha'emes. Oilam ha'emes. If it's the oilam ha'emes, how could it possibly be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need a neshama to descend to this world to be a ruach of sheker? How could there be sheker in the oilam ha'emes? And the answer is, nothing changes in the next world. If a person is a shakran in this world, the nature of his neshama is a shakran in the next world. It's the same thing. And therefore, what are the consequences? In the next world, you're not going to be able to enter close to Hashem. There are different levels of closeness to Hashem in the next world. A neshama that's sheker is tsei mimichitzasi. You may not enter into the secluded area of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, but now it's the Olam HaEmes, I'm not a shakran. Nothing changed. The only place a person has the ability to work on his neshama, to refine his neshama, is in this world. In this world is the Olam HaTikun. That's where you can be refine your neshama. So then the next world you'll be able to go to places where otherwise a neshama would be unable to go. Navos HaYisraeli, he died prematurely, he died very young, and he was full of revenge, full of anger, and that kas came with him into the next world. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed someone to go do dirty work, he was very willing to do the dirty work. It was a very powerful limud musar. How do you know that a chonef does not come from the mechitzos? Ki lo yilufon of chonef yovo. A chonef may not come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Misavir lo shen harish nemar. Ki lo yikel chof eitz resha oto. Lo yigur chora. Lo chazal darshin. Lo yogu itcho ra. Lo yikones bimechitzoscho. Anyone that speaks lo shoyin hora. You're here referring to a person who speaks words of evil. Leit sonim, a pasuk says, lo yisyasu hoilulim lenegad einecha. The hoilulim is another word for a leit. Bnei adam leit sonim me'arbe b'mes es ha'olam. And it concludes over here, people who are leit sonim me'arbe b'mes, they confuse es ha'olam, they make the world into a very confusing place. Okay, let's see. Okay, maybe one more paragraph. Lashon hara misabu gunos. Well, now he comes to the fine. What is lashon hara? Everyone knows misabu gunos shel chaver v'afilu devar emes. Lashon hara is to say not nice things about your friend behind his back. The definition of lashon hara means that the victim does not know what you said about him. Rechilus is when you tell someone what someone else said a bit about you. You know what this guy said about you? This, that's called rechilus. Motzi, shame rise when you say lies. There are three categories of slander. Lashon hara, rechilus, and motzi, shame rise. Review. Lashon hara is behind someone's back. You go home and you say, this guy is a shemazel. This guy, the guy has no idea what you said about him. But other people are privately talking that he's not a good guy. Rechilus is where I come to you and I say, do you know what that guy said about you? He said that you're a stingy good-for-nothing. Now, obviously, you destroyed the relationship between those two people. That's called rechilus. And Moitzi Shemra is fake news, when you just speak lies. So, Lashon Hara Mesam Gwinu Shal Chaveri B'afilu B'Adaris V'Gam Lashon Lachad Yeru Mi Shochitzi Shemra Al Chaveri O'Yecherfo Y'Kursin B'Charafo Y'Shalocho Y'Shchashud Bo. You curse them regarding something which people did not know about. You reveal dark secrets. You hang up his dirty laundry for all to see. There's no way you can get kapara because the damage is so great. There's no way you can undo the damage. The listener will, I don't know what this word means. Lashon of chesed. Chesed means two things. Sometimes it means kindness, and sometimes it means the complete opposite of kindness. Every word in Hebrew can go to its extremes. Kodesh and a kodesh, kodesha. So to living with a sister is called a chesed, which chesed means chesed hu. It's the ultimate abomination. There's something called an avera. There's something called a to'eva, and the at olis al kulana, what's the highest level, the worst word? Chesed hu. It's an abomination plus. An abomination on steroids. So here, it seems that that's how the pasuk is being used. Pen yichasedcha shemeya. The one who listens will now come to hate, will come to detest the person whom you spoke bad about. There's a person. He seems to be an upright member of society. I go to another person. I say that you think this guy's a nice guy. Do you know his history? And you rattle off all of his skeletons, all of his sins. And now the listener, that guy in my eyes is an abomination. Every time this fellow sees him in the street, he turns the other way because he knows all of his dark secrets. What right do you have to go reveal, to hang up someone else's dirty laundry in the street? What right? And there's no way you can get kapar, because there's no way when you reveal secrets, there's no way you can ever undo the damage. And especially today with social media, I mean, it's just amazing. The damage today, what you can do today is just not to be believed. Yeah.
The concept of opposite, we say Eretz Chemda, but we say Lo Sachmod.
So you want to say Chemda and Sachmod, yeah. Kavit.
The same idea.
Same Shoresh. You want to say that's the same Shoresh. Chemda, Ches Mem Dalet, and okay, in a Chanami. So you see another example of where a word, the Shoresh of the word, when you manipulate its vowels, has extreme opposite meanings. Classic examples are Yiskol, Yisakel, Yishroish, Yisharesh. There's a dime a dozen. We always discuss all different examples of this. There are so many different examples. I'll just tell you, review one example now of the many that we've come across. I always like to say, what does it mean, Miriam?
Right.
Moshe's sister, her name was Miriam. Who would name their child Bitter? Miriam come Mar. Why was she called Bitter? She was born during the most bitter time of the Shibud Mitzrayim. So he named his daughter Bitter. Really? You name your daughter Bitter? You call your wife Honey, and you name your wife Bitter? It's the opposite, right? You should call your wife Bitter, and name your wife Honey. If anyone should be called Bitter, it should be the wife, not the child. So what is the answer? So what's the answer? The answer is no. Mar means bitter. But when you manipulate a word's vowels, it means just the opposite. She was born in the most bitter time of Jewish history. And Amram was mispalel through her that the bitterness should turn into sweetness. So Mar is Mir. Mir Yeshiva. Mar is you manipulate the vowels from bitterness, sweetness. And not just B'loshen Yochid, Yud Mem, B'loshen Ram, in abundance of sweetness. So Miriam means this person is an abundance of sweetness.
And honey?
If you're
what?
First, what is Mar, you get rum to elevate.
Okay, that's another. Every word in Nach when you manipulate the letters, it means the opposite. Tzion. We always say this over. What is Tzion? Tzion. What does that mean? Tzion. How is Tzion? Tzion is a word in Yeshai so many times. Tzoyon. So same letters. Tzoyon. Arid, dry land. No moisture. Desert land. Tzoyon. Many times in Yeshaya, Tzoyon. When you manipulate the letters, it means the opposite. It means a land that's moist. A land that's wet. What is wetness? Hoy called Tzame L'chulamayim. Ein Torah Elamayim. Hoy called Tzame L'chulamayim. Ki mitzioin teitse Torah. Tzion means the land is a land that's wet. A land that's moist. Moistness in relation to spirituality is Torah. Ki mitzioin teitse Torah. So every word goes from one extreme, chesed, and you have chosed. And you have, well, there's
Miriam,
a, what? Chosed versus chesed, what?
Miriam, you read, like in English, it's Meiram.
Miriam? Okay, let's stop here. Take a short break. We'll talk about inyanim of Choshe Mishpat, inyanim relating to the Parsha. The Eile HaMishpatim. Koifin al midas sidoim. Gezel Shena. Yeah.
Chaim Berlin in 07.